Dick walked slowly. He had a vague, lingering sense of fear, although he couldn't say for certain what he was afraid of. His whole body ached, and his right hand felt warm and heavy, almost as if someone was holding it.
Jay?
Hey, Jason said. And Dick was surprised how tired his little brother looked, sitting by the side of his bed.
Welcome back.
What happened?
Blow dart, fear toxin, and a paralytic.
Dick nodded. He remembered the biting sensation at his neck, the certainty that he was losing control over his body, even as his vision seemed to narrow. He remembered pieces of nightmares. His parents falling to their death. Tim's hand slipping off a ledge he was desperately clinging to. Damien dropping from his arms.
Jason had been the worst. Falling beneath a rain of blows from a crowbar, sick laughter punctuating every bone-crunching hit.
Dick saw Jason's death over and over, and there was never anything he could do to stop it.
Guess you were right about Scarecrow, Dick said,
his voice rough, and Jason laughed humorlessly and didn't let go of his hand. Dick tried to sit up, but Jason laid a palm against his chest.
Stop. You'll wake the baby birds.
Jason's voice was soft and careful. Dick looked beside him and saw Damien's dark head close to his shoulder. Tim was stuck to the other side of the bed, dead to the world.
Did I hurt anyone?
Dick asked, glancing at the sleeping boys. Jason raised an eyebrow.
No, of course not. I wouldn't let that happen.
What about you?
Did I hurt you?
What did I just say? Jason returned. But his eyes weren't quite meeting Dick's, and that was a sure sign he was lying. Dick couldn't remember more than fragments, but he knew at some point he'd taken a swing at someone. And he had the awful feeling he tried to choke someone.
Did I hurt you?
Dick repeated, slowly and deliberately.
He wasn't in the mood for playing games, and he gave Jason's hand a hard squeeze to make his point.
No, Jason said, looking straight at his brother.
He threw a couple of lame-ass punches, and I let you choke me out so Tim could give you a sedative. Satisfied?
Jay. Jason slipped his hand out of Dick's and pulled down the collar of his tee.
Not even a bruise, Big Bird. Let it go, okay? It's my fault someone took a shot at you anyway.
You don't know that.
We were talking about it just the other night,
Jason reminded.
As payback for what happened with Scarecrow?
Dart and run isn't usually his M.O., and I didn't even see anyone.
Scarecrow likes for us to know it's him.
Dick tried sitting up again. This time, Jason rolled his eyes, but gave him a hand up instead of trying to keep him down.
Besides, Dick said, you weren't the only one there in the sewers. I tracked him. He could be aiming for any of us at this point. It's not all on your shoulders.
Is that what you think, dumbass?
Tim rolled over and leaned on one elbow, staring at Jason. Wow, you've got a bigger guilt complex than Bruce.
I would concur, Damien agreed. And Jason gave up, because now he was outnumbered 3-1.
Fine, Jason said. But even if Scarecrow's after all of us, that isn't any better.
We can all take care of ourselves, Tim said. And we look out for each other. You're the only one who tries to lone wolf it, you know.
Jason stood up, and Dick could tell exhaustion was making him tense. Whatever was going to come out of Jason's mouth next was likely to be something he would regret. Dick needed to head things off at the pass. Everybody just chill, okay? It's not going to help if we're snapping at each other. Let's just get up and... Dick rolled to his feet, but his legs were still unsteady. Jason caught him before he went down and slung Dick's arm around his shoulder. Come on, baby birds. Go find some breakfast, Jason said, the fight seemingly gone out of him. The two younger boys hurried out of bed and towards the kitchen.
I'll help Mr. Wobbles.
As soon as Tim and Damien were out of the room, Jason dropped Dick's arm unceremoniously.
What's up?
How? Jason shrugged.
Maybe you can tell when I'm lying, but I know when you're faking.
Dick straightened up.
You and I need to be on the same page, Jay. Tim and Damien are counting on us, so no trying to take this on by yourself, okay?
You've already gotten hurt. Who's next? Jason said.
Replacement? Baby bird? You want them to go through what we did?
No, so we need to protect them.
Agreed?
Agreed. Tim let out a sigh from the doorway.
You two are worse than bats. We're going to figure out what's going on, and we're going to figure it out together. Got it?
Sheepishly, Dick and Jason nodded. They followed Tim out to the kitchen, where Damien was already downing a bowl of cereal.
So it's settled?
Yep,
Tim replied, going straight to the coffee maker and turning it on.
Dumb and Dumber have agreed to try to tone down their usual overprotective selves.
Hey,
Dick said. And after breakfast, we're going to figure out some kind of a plan, Tim finished.
I want pancakes,
Damien stated, and looked at Dick pointedly.
Dick promptly flopped down on a nearby stool and put a hand to his head.
I'm still recovering. Maybe one of your other big brothers can do it.
Oh, for Christ's sake, Jason said, and opened a cupboard door, starting to pull out ingredients. All of you, get the hell out of the kitchen and let me work.
No one moved, and Jason sighed. Dick hid a smile behind his hand.
Maybe it was sometimes a challenge being part of their makeshift family, but Dick wouldn't have changed it for anything.
Especially as he watched Tim roam around making coffee, Jason beating the hell out of the pancake batter, and Damien supervising just enough not to get yelled at. Dick thought, if Bruce could see them, he would be proud of the family they'd become. The plan was to stick together. Naturally, they couldn't be together all the time, but they tried hard to make sure none of them was left alone. Jason continued to stay with Dick, and Tim and Damien were both safe at the mansion. Robin was the least of their concerns, given that when he patrolled, he was with Batman. They made Damien promise not to go out by himself, and grudgingly he complied, but only because the others had to make the same promise.
I'm a grown man,
Jason grumbled, sitting at Dick's kitchen table on a slow Monday night.
How do you think it looks that suddenly everywhere Red Hood goes, Nightwing does too?
Like you're hooking up, Tim said nonchalantly, and both Jason and Dick made horrified faces at him. I'm just saying, it's all over social media. You two have gotten quite a following lately.
Jason put his head down on the table, groaning into the sleeve of his leather jacket,
while Dick continued to stare at Tim in disbelief.
We're brothers!
Tim shrugged.
People don't know that. And besides, technically...
Jason shook his head.
I do not need to know that while we're punching through bad guys, they're wondering which of us is taking up the... Jason!
Dick shouted. Change of subject! T-
Tim, are you still able to patrol the Titans?
For the most part.
If you can't get one of them to ride a shotgun, you don't go out, Dick said firmly. Got it? Nobody goes out alone.
Aw, sweetheart. I'm touched, Jason said, batting his eyelashes at Dick.
And Dick neatly kicked the chair out from under him.
Jason was on his feet in seconds and grabbed Dick by the waist, hauling him to the ground.
And maybe this is why people think you're boning, Tim said casually from across the table.
Immediately, Jason and Dick were on opposite sides of the room, both bright red and looking everywhere but at each other.
Tim grinned into his coffee and made a mental note to see if there really was any social media chatter about Red Hood and Nightwing.
If not, he might just have to start some.
For 3 weeks, they managed to work with their modified buddy system. Batman and Robin ran regular patrols. Nightwing and Red Hood covered Crime Alley and the waterfront. Red Robin worked with the Titans. Then, as Nightwing and Red Hood were handing over a bunch of escapees to the cops, an emergency call came through from Tim.
Go ahead, Red Robin.
Jason waved at Dick that he would deal with the call, and Dick could make nice with the cops.
Jason was still a little leery about the GCPD. He hadn't always been an upstanding citizen, and all it would take was a word from someone like Batman or Gordon, and the Red Hood would be behind bars for a very long time. There was no statute of limitations on murder.
Jason, I need your help.
We're just wrapping up. We can be there.
No, just you.
Tim's voice was low, his speech stilted, and Jason knew he'd either been hit hard or drugged.
What's going on?
Jason asked, keeping his face expressionless. Dick was watching him from across the square.
I think I killed somebody.
It took a monumental effort to convince Dick not to come along, but Jason managed by saying Tim had asked specifically to see Jason alone.
Why?
Dick asked, suspicious. They were standing on a rooftop, watching the blue and whites escort 7 of Gotham's finest back to Blackgate Prison.
Maybe we're planning your surprise birthday party.
That would be a surprise, since my birthday is in spring. What's going on?
Jason sighed. He couldn't lie to Dick, and yet he had a really hard time believing Tim could have killed anyone. Tim didn't have it in him. He was the most careful and conscientious of all of them.
Look, I don't know exactly what the deal is, but Tim doesn't need everyone descending on him with 100 questions. Let me check out what's going on, and if we need you, I'll call. Promise.
I don't like it, Dick said. Was he alone? Is he hurt?
I don't know, and I won't know until you let me go talk to him.
Jason reached out and squeezed Dick's arm.
I'll bring him back to your place, okay?
Dick let out a frustrated breath and nodded.
He'd better be okay. Bring him home, Jay.
It took Jason less than 10 minutes to escape from Dick and reach the location Tim had given him. Yet it felt like hours. Jason dropped onto a lit rooftop in the business district and looked around. He switched to a private, encrypted comm frequency.
Red Robin?
Here.
Jason saw a shadow move near the lighted doorway, and he raced toward it. He blanched when Tim stepped into the light, and his usually bright costume was dark with blood.
Is that yours?
Jason asked, reaching out as Tim stumbled.
Maybe he should have let Dick come after all. Shit, how much of that is yours?
None, Tim said, and Jason felt relief wash over him.
Are you hurt?
No. Jason got a good look at Tim's face. Pale, sweaty, his pupils blown wide and dark. There were streaks of blood on his face, and he looked as if he'd plunged his gauntlets elbow deep in someone's blood. His slow blinks and speech gave every indication that he'd been drugged.
What happened? And where's your backup?
Superboy got called away. Emergency. Told him I'd be fine.
Obviously,
Jason said, propping Tim up against the wall and looking him over. He didn't appear to have any serious injuries, although he had a nasty bump on the back of his head. At least he wasn't hallucinating, but he wasn't firing in all cylinders either. He probably had a concussion.
Then these guys jumped me.
Which guys?
Ninjas.
Tim hung on to the S just a little too long. He sounded a bit drunk.
Lots of them.
How many? Jason glanced around, but he couldn't see any bodies.
7, 8? I don't know. Too fast.
And?
And Tim made a face that looked a bit like a grumpy hamster. And bam! Pow! They ninja'd me.
Tim swung his hands through the air at what Jason was sure he thought was lightning speed, but was really just kind of pathetic.
And you think you killed someone?
Jason said gently, trying to get Tim back on track. Tim's face crumpled, and his hands dropped into his lap.
I didn't mean to,
he said, staring at the blood covering his gloves, and Jason felt his stomach turn. He remembered what it was like to kill someone, to know you'd taken a life, and even if the person deserved it, it couldn't help but weigh on your conscience. He didn't want Tim to have to deal with that.
I must have blacked out. Just for a minute,
Tim admitted, sounding shaky but a little more like himself.
I came to and two guys were down. I was covered in blood.
Where? Jason asked tersely, and Tim pointed to the section of the rooftop shrouded in darkness.
You stay right here. Don't move.
Jason marched into the dark, prepared for anything. He flipped to night vision and immediately saw two bodies on the roof. Both were dressed in black, but from the heavy scent of blood in the air, Jason could tell things were bad. He went first to one body, then the other, and felt for a pulse. He couldn't find one. There was blood everywhere. Jason sat back on his haunches and thought for a second. Tim used a bow staff. At most, the injuries should have been blunt force trauma. Bumps, bruises, broken bones. Not enough blood to leave Tim dripping from it. Jason went over the first body again, searching for wounds. He found none. At least nothing that would cause that degree of blood loss. It was the same with the second body. Nothing that appeared to be a serious injury. No broken neck. Nothing. Jason took a deep breath and willed himself to be patient. He found the pulse point in the neck this time and waited. He felt a small pressure under his fingers that was gone almost as soon as he'd registered it. He waited again. Yes, there was a pulse, although it was slow enough that anyone checking quickly
would reasonably make the assumption that the person was dead.
If it sounds like a dead guy and looks like a dead guy, it's probably a dead guy,
Jason said to himself, as he checked the second victim with the same results.
Neither man was dead, but appeared to be in either some kind of drug-induced state of paralysis or a self-induced state of deep meditation, both of which could mimic the appearance of death if one wasn't looking for more than quick verification.
Tim hadn't killed anyone, but someone had sure wanted it to look like he had. At least to Tim. If that was somebody's idea of a joke, it was a sick one, and Jason felt his anger building.
He could plug both of these guys on the rooftop, and no one would be the wiser. It would serve them right for playing dead and scaring the shit out of a 17-year-old kid.
They're dead, right? Tim's voice came from behind him, and Jason jumped to his feet.
Tim. Oh, God, Jason, what am I going to do?
Tim turned and threw up, and Jason was right there to help hold him steady.
Tim, listen to me. You didn't... It was an accident,
Tim interrupted.
I guess. I don't remember. Dick is going to be... And Bruce. Oh, God, Bruce. Tim.
Jason shook him.
He got what Tim was feeling. He really did.
But he also didn't need the reminder live and in color of exactly how disappointed Dick and Bruce would be if Tim crossed that all-important line. The one that separated them from the bad guys.
The one that made Jason a bad guy, too.
Good guys to the right, killers to the left.
Jason knew guilt and regret, and that sick turning of the stomach that came from killing. But unlike Tim, he also knew the adrenaline rush and the power and the feeling of control. He'd always told himself his actions were justified, but now he couldn't say for certain that was true. And watching Tim freak out about how Dick and Bruce and the others would take it made Jason feel a surge of familiar anger. He knew how they would react. They would rally around Tim. They would find a way to get him through it because it had been an accident. He hadn't done it on purpose. Not like Jason. Tim had nothing that needed to be forgiven. Tim would be embraced, where Jason had been vilified. Jason looked at Tim's pale face, his lips wet from throwing up, and Tim's desperate blue eyes. He wanted to feel sympathy. He wanted to fix the situation for the kid, but part of him was hurting so badly he was blind with it. His original anger at coming back and being replaced, wanting revenge, wanting Bruce to hurt and hurt badly, resurfaced with the strength of a freight train, and Jason slapped Tim across the face. Tim, for fuck's sake, you didn't kill anyone.
What?
It was a setup to make you believe you'd done it. They're using some kind of neurotoxin, most likely.
Jason stepped back, breathing hard. He was shaking, and his fists were clenched to stop himself from doing more damage than he'd already done.
It's okay, Timmy. You're clean. I'm still the only killer in the family.
Jason? That's why you called me, isn't it? Tim looked at Jason, speechless. And Jason knew Tim was reeling from a concussion and whatever drugs they doped him with. It wasn't fair to hound the kid. But he was doing it anyway. Well, life wasn't fucking fair.
Oh, I get it, Jason said bitterly. You need someone to fly the friendly skies with, you call Dick. But if you need someone to cover up a murder, you call me. Is that about right?
No, I thought you'd understand. Jason slipped an arm around Tim's shoulders.
You made the right call, kid. What's that saying? A good friend will help you move, but family will help you move a body. Big Brother's here.
Oh, God, Tim said, looking like he was going to throw up again.
I so regret calling you.
Jason laughed, but there wasn't any humor in it. He tapped his comm to a frequency he knew Dick would be monitoring, waiting for his call.
Red Robin needs an assist, and I'm no longer the right brother for the job. You're up, Big Bird.
Jason rattled off the building's address, then leapt off the roof into the night. He couldn't be there when Dick showed up. He needed to get away from them all for a while. Too much family togetherness had made him forget exactly what they thought of him. But Tim had reminded him pretty damn clearly tonight. He was the killer. It's what he always would be. Maybe it was time he just accepted it.
Nightwing to Red Hood. Hood, are you there? Jason, you need to come in. Tim told me what happened. Everything that happened. Please, just come home and we can talk about it. You didn't come home last night, Jay, and you've disabled all your tracking devices. I know you're still monitoring this frequency. I know you're not giving up on us, and we're not giving up on you. Tim's okay, by the way. Shaken pretty badly, and he has a nasty concussion, but otherwise he's okay. Well, if you don't count the fact, he feels like crap because of what happened with you. He didn't deserve that, Jaybird. Why do you think Tim called you in the first place? He looks up to you. You were his, Robin, and he's beating himself up over this. Whatever triggered you, Jay, we know who you are. Please, you need to come home. Damn it, Jason, get your ass home. We're worried about you. Someone's clearly got it out for Robbins, and we don't care what you did or what you said, just come home. Please, Little Wing. At least let us know you're all right.
That, of course, proved to be Jason's downfall. Or what Jason preferred to think of as Barbara's betrayal. It was a downpour like Gotham hadn't seen in years, and Jason was miserable. He was on the roof of Dick's building. It was 3 a.m, and he was aching in every muscle and joint. He'd had a lot of anger to take out, and what better place to do it than the streets of Gotham? Criminals had definitely heard Red Hood was back on the streets and looking for trouble. Of course, trouble had a way of fighting back, and Jason had the bruises and black eye to prove it. He felt a little like he'd been on a bender, one fight blending into the next, into the next, into the next, and punctuating it were these desperate little pleas from Dick over the comms. Jason felt torn into pieces. He didn't know what to feel or what to do. He just knew he was miserable where he was, and he wished he could take back what had happened with Tim. Red Hood to Oracle.
Oracle here.
Jason waited for the admonishment of being off comms for so long, about not letting someone know where he was.
It didn't come.
Barbara waited in silence, and when Jason spoke, his voice sounded exhausted even to his own ears.
I need you to get a message to Nightwing.
He's 14 steps down the fire escape and through a window. I think you can deliver it yourself.
There was the Barbara he knew.
If I wanted to do that, don't you think I would have done it already? Jason said.
He'd taken the hood and his mask off, and now his hair was soaked through, bang slick against his forehead, water running down his neck into the collar of his jacket.
I don't know. Maybe you like getting soaked to the skin with cold rain. Who am I to judge?
Jason laughed.
Who indeed? Look, just tell Dick I'm okay. I'm sorry about what happened, but I need...
Tell him yourself,
Barbara said. And before Jason could react, he heard the pounding of feet on the fire escape. Shit. He was fumbling with mask and hood and trying to get his grapple when someone hit him square in the chest, and there were arms wrapped around him like a vice. To Jason's surprise, it was Tim's unruly mop he saw when he looked down.
Tim?
I'm so sorry, Tim said, frantic. And Jason looked up only to see Dick standing at the edge of the roof, getting wetter by the second. Tim kept going. I'm sorry, I never meant to make you feel like that. Please don't leave again. Jason stared up at the night sky, rain pounding on his face, and he swore under his breath even as he let his arms come up and around Tim. I'm not leaving, kid. I never should have. Then Dick was there, too, because it was impossible to keep that man out of a group hug, and Jason felt a hand at the back of his neck, warm and familiar. Tim was squashed in between them.
No, you shouldn't have, but you're home now, and that's what matters, Dick finished for him.
If the three of you get pneumonia,
Barbara said across the comms,
I'm not visiting any of you. For God's sake, go inside.
Once they made it down the slippery fire escape and through Dick's open window into the cheery apartment, Jason couldn't remember why he'd been so keen to leave. He'd felt at home there the few weeks he'd been staying with Dick, and the last two nights he'd spent at one of his safe houses had seemed anything but safe. He'd felt alone, something he rarely experienced anymore. Go back to bed, Timmy, Dick said, tossing Tim a dry towel for his hair. I'll be there in 10 minutes. Don't let him leave, Tim said, sounding a little desperate. And Dick gave Tim a gentle prod in the direction of the bedroom.
I said I wouldn't leave, Jason reaffirmed,
although he wasn't sure he felt ready for the talk Dick probably wanted to give him about not freaking out on Tim and not running away and all the other things Jason realized he shouldn't have done. Reassured, Tim walked into the bedroom, swiping at his wet hair. Jason stood there, waiting for Dick to say something.
You should take a hot shower. You're freezing. I'll grab you something to sleep in. The couch is all yours if you're not comfortable showing right now.
Dick turned toward the bedroom, but Jason caught his arm.
That's it? You're not going to yell at me for taking my issues out on a 17-year-old kid? Again?
Dick shook his head.
You know you screwed up. You don't need a lecture from me. Unless you really, really want one.
Jason held up his hands as if in surrender.
No, that's okay. I'll take you up on that shower, though.
Jason let the hot water pound into his flesh and work away some of the tension. He felt way older than his 21 years.
Closer on the seat, Dick said. Dick?
Yeah? Jason let out a deep breath.
It wasn't Tim's fault.
It wasn't your fault either, Jay. None of us have been through the kind of trauma you have. We know you have triggers. Jason closed his eyes.
His triggers had triggers. His whole damn psyche was a game of Russian roulette. He was a fucking mess, and Dick knew it. But he was kind enough not to say so. Jason didn't know why it was so much easier to keep it together when he was busting chops and kicking ass than when someone reached out to him or made him feel something unexpected.
You said you know me. That you know who I am.
Are you sure about that? Yes, Dick said. And Jason smiled, because what other answer had he been expecting? This was Dick, after all. He believed in people's goodness even when they showed him otherwise. No, I mean, I know exactly what you mean, Jason. And I know who you are. You're my brother. You want me to say you're a killer? I won't, because I don't believe that. I know you've killed people, not stupid or naive. None of us are. But I don't think you're like the people we put away. Not that different. You were a 15-year-old kid who was beaten practically to death, Dick said, and there was sadness in his voice. You came back from the dead, got dumped in a Lazarus pit, and had Talia al Ghul there to push all your buttons. You wanted to know Bruce loved you enough to kill the Joker for you. Stop. Jason closed his eyes under the shower spray and tried not to let the wave of hurt take him again. And you were so angry and so hurt you couldn't see straight. You came back and figured you'd been replaced, as if you didn't matter. Dick took a step closer to the shower. Jason could see him, silhouetted in shadow on the other side of the curtain. You matter, Jay, to all of us. And we will tell you that every day if you need to hear it. We know what you've done. We know who you are. They're not the same thing. And you've been forgiven for a long time now. You just need to forgive yourself. Jason let out a shaky breath. Damn Dick for always knowing how to cut through to the heart of things. It hurt, but at the same time, it was like the lancing of a wound. Every time, he seemed to bleed a little less and heal a little more. We love you, and we're not letting you go. No matter what you've done, no matter what you do, you're family. And family is there no matter what. I know you think we would have treated Tim better than we treated you if it had turned out he'd kill someone, but you have to remember, when you came back, you came at us with everything you had, Jay. We had no idea what happened to you except that you were trying to kill us. None of us wanted to hurt you. There was a pause, and Jason waited. He could tell Dick wasn't done, but that he was weighing his next words carefully. Jason, I know you. And I know you're a decent guy who's been kind of messed up by everything that's happened. All of us have moments when we think about crossing that line. Sometimes we even step over it. Jason couldn't help it. He snorted. The thought of Dick ever killing someone was laughable. Suddenly, the shower curtain was pulled open and the water turned off. A towel was thrust at him. Get out. Now. Dick was angry, and Jason didn't know what to do except what he was told. He wrapped the towel around his waist and stepped out of the shower. I never told you this, and I'm not sure I should tell you now. But I let Tarantula kill Blockbuster. I stood aside and let her do it instead of stopping her. Jason shook his head. Not quite the same as pulling the trigger yourself. Dick's face grew dark, and he nodded. Well then, how about the time I beat the Joker to death because he killed my little brother? Jason stared at Dick, stunned. That's impossible. Dick looked Jason in the eyes. Is it really so hard to believe? He's still alive. Dick sighed. You can ask Batman if you want. He'll confirm it. The Joker wasn't breathing when he got there. Jason realized what Dick wasn't saying. He resuscitated the fucker, didn't he? Christ, there is something really wrong with their relationship. The point is, Bruce doesn't want any of us with blood in our hands. He spent his whole life trying to protect us from that. It's the one line he can't cross, Jason, and he wouldn't be Batman if he did. He'll protect you from it just as much as the rest of us. You know that.
Yeah, I know, Jason said. Bruce had shown him that when he'd chosen to wound Jason with the batarang, rather than let him kill the Joker. Of course, when Jason had the chance, he hadn't managed to kill the Joker either. And he wondered about that a lot on late nights. If he had the chance again, he honestly didn't know what he'd do. And that said something. It should be a clear choice, black and white. Joker was a killer, a psychopath who lived to torture and torment his victims. It should be a no-brainer to end the misery. But Jason knew deep down, now that his brain was working right again, he didn't want to be the person with blood on his hands all the time. He couldn't be. Maybe it made him weak. But being part of the family meant more to him at this point than knowing the Joker would never kill again. It was selfish, but at least he was being honest with himself. Jaybird, don't ever think you don't mean anything to us, no matter what you've done in the past. Dick went in for the hug, and Jason let him, even though it was awkward and he was still dripping wet and only wearing a towel. He hugged back, because Dick had just told him what was probably his biggest secret. Jason knew Dick had more reasons than most for wanting the Joker dead. He just hadn't realized his own death might have touched Dick as much as Barbara's crippling. Thank you for telling me, Jason said, and felt Dick nod against his shoulder. I'm sorry I didn't tell you before. I just didn't want you to see it as one more time Bruce let you down. Jason knew that's exactly how he would have seen it if Dick had told him earlier, when he was still raw with rage. Now he could see that Batman stopping Dick from killing the Joker had very little to do with Jason's death, and everything to do with saving Dick's life. Batman protected them as best he could.
Half-naked hugging?
Tim said from the doorway, catching them both off guard.
Twitter would have a field day with this.
Get out! Both Dick and Jason said at the same time, and Tim scurried out, laughing. Dick took a step back.
No more running, okay?
I'll try, Jason said.
I can't guarantee I won't freak out sometimes.
We know. But when that happens, let us help you. We're family. With that, Dick left him alone to change, and Jason tugged on a pair of sweats and a t-shirt. Dick had dropped a blanket and pillow on the couch, and Jason settled down for the night. He wasn't alone. Not really. And it sounded as if he never had to be alone again. It was so tempting to believe what Dick was saying, but part of Jason still doubted. He didn't doubt Dick's sincerity, but that his membership to the Bat Clan really was guaranteed. He knew it was conditional. He was accepted only as long as he didn't kill anyone.